Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nomadicast. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled God Dealt with Those Who Stood By While Their Brethren Suffered. I'm going to be reading from the Old Testament document about Obadiah, beginning at verse 1. This is what the Sovereign Lord says about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, rise, and let us go against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights. You who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? But how Esau will be ransacked, his hidden treasures pillaged. All your allies force you to the border. Your friends will deceive you, will deceive and overpower you. Those who eat your bread, but you will not detect it. In that day, declares the Lord, I will not destroy the wise men of Edom, men of understanding in the mountains of Esau. Your warriors, O Teman, will be terrified, will be cut down in the slaughter because of the violence against your brother Jacob. You will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. Verse 11 is our focus for this morning's study. On the day you stood aloof, while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You should not look down on your brother in the days of his misfortune. You know, rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. The Hebrew word there for trouble is ra. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor look down on them in their calamity, in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. And this is the Old Testament law of lex talionis. Lex talionis. This is the law of retaliation. Verse 16. Just as you drank on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and be as if they had never been. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy. And how Jacob will possess his inheritance or possess their possession. The house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph and the house of Joseph a flame. The house of Esau will be stubble, and they will set it on fire and consume. There will be no survivors from the house of Esau. The Lord has spoken. Obadiah's vision, verse 1, which reads the vision of Obadiah. Obadiah's vision encompasses what takes place in the year of 586. It was at this time that Jerusalem was overthrown by the Babylonians. It is interesting that Peta was the capital city of Edom, and it is also known as Sela. And this particular city had amazing defenses. This was a city carved into the rock, and it is was accessible only by a narrow gate, almost a mile long. And it was seemingly incapable of being conquered. So when the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem, the Edomites rejoiced and helped the enemy instead of helping their brothers. Genesis 25, 21 through 26, Psalm 37, verses 7 through 9. It was a repetition of the ancient conflict between Esau and Jacob, which symbolizes, for our sake, the battle between the flesh and the spirit. The wisdom of the Edomites, which were, of course, the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother, the wisdom of the Edomites was proverbial, Jeremiah 49:7. And the prophetic message, as given here, is always a judgment on purely human wisdom. The prophetic message is always a judgment on purely human wisdom. Paul records that even the foolishness of God, the Moriah of God, is wiser than man. 1 Corinthians 1:5. Paul also states that the fear or the wisdom of this world is Moriah with God. That's Corinthians 3:19. It is moronic. Here, in the prophecy against Edom, You see what the Old Testament terms fear of action that creates death. And I know that in the West, we do not have such a such a thought pattern as this. We teach the relativity of action. We teach what is right. And so we teach these, and I'm going to say doctrines, we teach these doctrines without understanding that we have unleashed fear of action that creates death. In the West, there are persons who truly believe that their actions are without consequence. And it is self-deceiving. It is self-deception to have such a belief. It is pure self-deception. And so we have here we have God addressing this nation. It is the Edomites, whose impregnable kingdom, with its massive and brilliant fortifications, believed that there was no way they were going to be conquered. No one could conquer them, but they had forgotten is the fact that they were fighting against God, who sits enthroned above the flood. The God's divine revelation, the revelation that God has given unto us through his word, which is available for study, which is available for research. His word, which is available for the scholarly community and has been so for many, many centuries. You see that over time, many have assailed this book and tried to prove this book, that is, both the Old Testament and New Testament documents, as somehow wanting. But if one is an open scholar, he or she will come away understanding that there is something, there is a message, there is a substantive message in this book, called the Bible or the Biblia, because this book, the Bible, is a book of 66 books that were compiled over a period of 1,500 years by authors who, for the most part, most of them did not know one another, and yet there is a unique continuity to their message. It is undeniable. There's a continuity, there's a consistency, and there is an integrity that we find in the scriptures. Now, the Edomites based their wisdom on or from their God says that, verse 2, see, I will make you small or little among the nations. And the root of this word small means to know that God says, I will make you small. They are in direct contact conflict with God. And so this is one of the judgments of God. I like the New Testament word for judgment. And it is K-R-I-S-I-S. The Greek term for judgment is crisis. To be delivered into crisis. And so here in Obadiah, verse 2, God says, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly stopped. The pride of your heart, pride, goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The down in Hebrew, the down from the Hebrew zaud and zaud. And the root of this word pride means to boil or to boil up. It means to be arrogant. The pride of your lab, of your heart, has deceived you. That is, caused you to err, to go astray. Now, this is the deep, rich, and provocative insight that is provided by God concerning the collective mentality or the collective mental attitude then of the Edomites. They worshiped their intellect. They worshiped their wisdom, which is a form of idolatry. Here was they believed that they could have this intellectual independence of God, and they believed that they believed in autonomous humanistic intellectualism, and they have forgotten that unless a finite point themselves has an infinite reference point, that is God, then what they believe is meaningless and absurd. And so God says, as he diagnoses for them, their spiritual condition, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of rock. So therefore, if one's heart is deceived, then one will have a false premise as to one's foundational belief, or beliefs, I should say. And so, with a false premise, one will develop a false conclusion. So, it is basic syllogistic logic. And they have failed in this regard. You who live in the clefts of the rock and make your home in the heights, you who say to yourselves or to your hearts, who can bring me down to the ground? In other words, who can humble me? Who can humble me? Though you soar like an eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? But how Esau will be ransacked, his hidden treasures pillaged. All your allies will force you to the border. That is, they will send you running from your own country. They will send you, your fortifications will be compromised. You will not be able to stay in your own home due to your blinding pride. Your friends will deceive you and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it. Your God will take away the ability to discern between friend or foe. This is very deep. This is very powerful. And so, first, God moves in and he judges their hearts. God handed them over to what they wanted. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. Excuse me, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, or harvest. For he that soweth upon his flesh, or to his flesh, and the preposition, the word to there, is a preposition eis, which means motion toward or direction toward. For he that soweth toward his flesh, shall, and here the preposition is ek, which means out from, shall out from the flesh, the sarx, harvest corruption or ruin and decay. But he that soweth through the Spirit shall of the Spirit harvest life everlasting. God is doing unto the Edomites what they have done. Verse 9, God says, verse 8, God says, in that day declares the Lord, will I not destroy the wise men of Edom, men of understanding in the mountains of Esau? Your warriors, O Teman, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down and slaughtered. Nahum 3:13, Jeremiah 49:22, Jeremiah 50:37, Jeremiah 51:30, Isaiah 19:16. Because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. On the day you stood aloof, while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. And verse 11, in this reason, Hebrew, on the day you stood aloof, it literally reads, on the day you stood on the other side. God is judging their shameful indifference. Numbers 32:23. God is directly dealing with or judging with the Edomites the sin of doing nothing, the sin of standing by while the guiltless suffer, the sin of having a cold and indifferent heart, the sin of being callous against the pain of one's brother. And notice, Jacob and Esau are family. They were twins. In the New Testament, the word brother is the word adelphos. Adelphos means those of the same womb. Adelphos has nothing to do with the melanin content of the skin or the texture of hair or accent. Adelphos means those of the same womb. It has nothing to do with the mythos of race. Racism is the religion of the world system. Racism is a religion. It is a religious system. We have to understand that and stop trying to understand racism as purely based upon lack of understanding. No, racism is the religion of the cosmic system. Here, notice, God is dealing with the sin of doing nothing. So God will visit upon the Edomites the law of Lex Talionis, that is the law of retaliation. Verse 15 reads, "The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head." Reminiscent, please read Psalm 7. Please read Psalm 7 and Galatians 6. Verse 16, "Just as you drink on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and be as if they had never been." It's deeply powerful, deeply serious. And so it is important that we remember what Jesus said in the book of Revelation to one church to whom he said that they were tepid. He said, "I would that you were hot or cold." For the tepid church, Jesus said, "I will spew you because you're tepid. I will spew you from my mouth." It seems easy to be casually indifferent. It may seem easy to walk around and believe that one can be involved in the sin of doing nothing without consequences. But let me say that we live in a day and a time in which there's so many persons in need of prayer. There's so much going on behind the scenes. What we are allowed to see, what we are allowed to experience, is merely the tip of a huge and disastrous iceberg. The one with the good news of salvation is God himself. God, keep us from the sin of doing nothing. Let us help our brethren the best of our ability, through the power of the Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a very meaningful day.